This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray. It's been a busy week, as it should be, the national championship on Monday night. Just a quick reminder for those of you looking to consume the national championship in many forms, myself, Matt Youmans, will be live on the air on VSiN during the national championship, a little altcast, so to speak, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern time. If you just want to see my pain, that's fine too. We're also now on Sirius XM, channel 158, so fired up about that. The VSiN Watch app, wherever you get VSiN. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed our content leading up to the national championship. And I wanted to do this today to get the perspective from the folks covering the teams. We'll hear from Andrew Gillis of Cleveland.com a little bit later on in the podcast. He covers Ohio State, but a friend of the podcast, because he's been on before, and he was actually on during August when the breaking news came out that Charles Jagasaw, the projected starter at left tackle, would be lost for the year due to a pec injury. Lo and behold, he will be starting at left tackle, more than likely, in the national championship. It is Pete Sampson from The Athletic. Make sure you give him a follow on social media at Pete Sampson _, and read all his great content, as well as check out his podcast with Matt Fortuna, The Independent. Pete, you're down there in Atlanta, and you've been obviously following this team all around the country these past couple of weeks. What's kind of the feel? What was just the vibe in South Bend this week from the players, as here we go again, round three against Ohio State in the last three seasons?
It feels strange to say like the round three, because this feels totally separate from the home and home. And I think that the players are also sort of like, wait, we're in class again? That part is weird that we're into the second semester now. I think people are still in a, like, I'm talking about the sort of around South Bend, a bit in a daze that this is even happening. So it's an exciting time. Like, Notre Dame is a small town, or South Bend is a small town with a big school, and at that, you know, for how much national, attention Notre Dame gets, to be living in South Bend when this is happening feels a little bit more akin to like a high school basketball team making a run through the state tournament. So it's a lot of people greeting you with Go Irish, bidding you farewell with Go Irish. It definitely feels like sort of everyone's on the bandwagon around South Bend.
It is a running joke with some buddies of mine, because when we were down in Miami, I met up with some high school friends, and a couple of them are, you know, casual Notre Dame fans, not to the level that I'm at, or my buddy who went to Notre Dame. But yeah, it was the Go Irish hello is always a fun one. And, you know, Ohio State's got their own one too, OHIO. So you'll hear plenty of that. And I imagine the atmosphere will be great. I thought the atmosphere in Miami was phenomenal, but let's dive into this game and so many kind of unique storylines. Let's start with the one that I mentioned, offensive line. I think Molly McGrath kind of broke the news in a report from South Bend. It's not that surprising, but is Charles Jagasaw the season projected starter at left tackle, Pete? Is he expected to make his first start of the season at left tackle?
He is. That's kind of what my sources have told me. Molly McGrath got it straight from Charles Jagasaw. I saw her interviewing him during the media availability this week. So yeah, that's the season's been so long that a season ending injury is no longer season ending. But I do think, like, from Notre Dame's point of view, if you're going to lose Anthony Knapp and Rocco Spindler, your best case scenario was having Jagasaw start at left tackle and Spindler getting back at right guard. And it looks like that Notre Dame will at least open the game that way against Ohio State on Monday.
So when you look at this offensive line, how would you compare it to the challenge that they have in front of them on Monday night against, you know, JT Tuimoloau, or I'll just call him JTT, a guy that Notre Dame saw last year and Notre Dame fans remember had the big stop on that screen pass that could have salted it away for the Irish. Instead, he gets the stop and the rest is history. Ohio State ends up winning that game. when you look at the defensive front for Ohio State and the offensive line for Notre Dame that has dealt with injuries, is it a massive advantage? Is it a little bit of advantage? Where would you swing the pendulum for Ohio State D-line versus Notre Dame O-line?
I mean, it's a clear advantage for Ohio State. I don't know how to compare it to Penn State, because I thought Penn State had the best player in Abdul Carter compared to what. But I think Ohio State might have the second, third, fourth, and fifth best player if you just looked at the starting five for both. So, I mean, Abdul Carter basically wrecked Notre Dame's game plan. They're not. I don't think they're going to be able to double JTT or Jack Sawyer the way that they were able to sort of build the game plan around Abdul Carter. So that makes it incredibly difficult to me for Notre Dame. I think they're going to have to be very, very much on their stuff on the offensive line, I think, to just function offensively. Because I think that Ohio State really, they're starting four pros. It's not like Clemson four pros in 2018, if you remember that, with Dexter Lawrence and blanking on the defensive end that got drafted by the Raiders in the top five. But it's not that far off.
Colin Farrell?
Yeah, Colin Farrell. It's Cleveland Farrell. Yeah. It's not that far off that.
Yeah.
It's definitely an advantage for Ohio State.
All right, Pete, when you look at Notre Dame from an offensive standpoint, I would say, you know, we'll dive into defense for Notre Dame versus offense for Ohio State, which is kind of strength on strength. I would say it's pretty clear that the weakness of the four units in totality would be the Notre Dame offense. Not that Notre Dame's offense is a bunch of jabronis, but they struggle a little bit. So a discussion that has been brought up a lot, you know, in the gambling world has been there doesn't seem to be a clear path to success for the Irish offensively outside of turnovers. Team total is sitting at like 17.5, 18.5, Pete. So when you look at Notre Dame's offense and what we've seen the last couple of games facing their toughest defensive tests to date, what do you expect for Notre Dame and how do they have success against this Ohio State defense, which by some metrics is the best defense in the country?
Yeah, I think for how much time people are spending on Jeremiah Smith and Will Howard and Trayvon Henderson, like my big concern for Notre Dame is Notre Dame's own offense and like whether they can score 20 points. So I think that you've got to, when your offensive line has to play above what they've played all year, you need Jeremiah Love healthy. I'm told that he's much closer to sort of the Georgia game pregame than he was coming out of that game. So that's a positive. I think you got to get creative with Aeneas Williams in the pass game. I think Texas had some success with Blue. They're running back out of the backfield against the Buckeyes. So how do you take advantage of that? You know, can you create, let's say, four 30-yard pass plays, four chunk plays? That would be a season high for Notre Dame. They put up three against Penn State, and that made the difference. You had Mitchell Evans, Jaden Greathouse, you know, each had a couple, Greathouse being the touchdown there. You know, I think you just got to take shots in the pass game, but then also really have Riley Leonard empty the tank in the run game. Like this is a game where he could have 15 carries, and that would be a positive for Notre Dame. So it's weird. I feel like I'm saying they need to play ball control, but also take deep shots, which like somehow you got to do both. Because you're going to have to help your defense a little bit by holding onto the ball. And like, I think one thing that's sort of gotten lost in the analysis of this game is like, oh, how does Notre Dame stop Ohio State? Well, they did it each of the last 2 years. So, I mean, one of those was C.J. Stroud, who's a heck of a lot better than Will Howard. So I think Notre Dame's defense and they're all, like, they know how to play a complementary game plan against Ohio State. It's just, can you just do a little bit more on offense than you did last year against them? Riley Leonard will help you, but you also got to push the ball vertically at least a couple times and connect on a couple of those.
Now, Pete, you and I text a lot, probably more than you would hope for, because I'm annoying. But you mentioned 15 rushing attempts, and I don't know if you did that on purpose, but that is the number at FanDuel right now. 14.5 is the over-under on rushing attempts for Riley Leonard. And as I've mentioned a million times, this will be the million and first time. rushing attempts include sacks. So if Riley Leonard gets sacked, that is a rushing attempt. 14.5 is the number. What's interesting about that number is that he's eclipsed that one time this year, but it was the Penn State game. He ran for 18 carries in that game. Once again, sacks included. How much do you anticipate Riley Leonard to be utilized here? And is this a spot where he looks out, okay, Faison is covered, I'm going to take off and run? How much do you expect Riley Leonard to use his legs? And do you think we eclipse 14.5 carries in this game for Riley Leonard?
Yes, I would bet the over on that one. I think it's, in theory, should be indicative of a lot of scrambles, maybe 3 or 4 third and two rushing attempt quarterback sneaks. I know this won't count as a rushing attempt, but like, I'd just like to see Notre Dame get him out of the pocket to help the offensive line. I think that Ohio State secondary is good, don't get me wrong, but like, I think if you have a quarterback who's outside the pocket and you change the angles of the throw, you make the DBs guard for 5-6 seconds, like, that's hard to do, even if you're Caleb Downs. So I think that Notre Dame, like, you need to have Riley Leonard improvise, but also sort of like lean into his legs, which is the best part about him as a quarterback. So I have a hard time seeing that not hit over whether Notre Dame wins or not. It will hit over because it was sacks if they lose going away. It will hit over on rushing attempts if they win or it's close. So that's one of those, I feel like that's going to go over either way.
Yeah, 36.5 is the rushing yards. I would stay away from it because, once again, sack yardage hurts you in that spot. So looking at the running backs, you have Jeremiah Love at 41.5, Jadarian Price 25.5, and Aeneas Williams at 10.5. These all courtesy of FanDuel. Once again, take a look around, see if you get better prices depending on what you ultimately want to do. Before we get to Love, Price is fascinating to me because initially my thought process was under. He did not perform well against Penn State, very hesitant hitting the hole. The thought process also is that Love is going to be healthier. That all being said, I've talked to a couple of folks that I respect kind of it, looking at props, and they actually like his over in this game. What do you make of Jadarian Price and his role in this one? Because there was an expectation, Pete, that he would be used a lot against Penn State, and he wasn't, and he also wasn't effective. So do you think we get a bounce back performance? Do we see less of Jadarian Price? What do you make of Notre Dame's backup running back heading into this one?
I mean, it's probably a cop out, but I would just stay away from that one. Cause I feel like he's
okay. Sometimes that's the best thing you got to do in gambling, right, Pete?
He could be good. I feel like if he had 10 rushes, let's just say he has 10 rushing attempts in this game, 9 of them are probably going to go for 3 yards or less. One of them could go for 55. It just, he's been that kind of back all season, with the exception of the Georgia game where I thought he ran incredibly hard, wasn't super productive in terms of the yardage, but I thought really laid it out there in a way that like was just like, I'm going to get 3 yards on this no matter what. Against Penn State, I feel like he sort of got backed in some of his old habits of, I'm going to bounce it outside, I've got good speed. And like against Penn State, like nobody had good speed. So if there were, I feel like if there was a back that I would bet on, it would probably would be Aeneas Williams. Did you say that was like 10.5 yards?
10.5 rushing yards. Yeah.
Yeah. That one I would go with. If he had a receiving prop, I would probably go with that even more. I think that,
well, I'm glad you asked, Pete. We got all the answers here. So we've got Aeneas Williams rushing 10.5. Aeneas Williams receiving, that has been bet up, and that's at 26.5. And if you want to go combo platter, rushing and receiving, 41.5. So for you, looking at Aeneas Williams, who had his kind of coming out party against Penn State, which one of those threes would intrigue you the most?
Probably rushing. I wanted the receiving one to be lower, but I guess that's why they make good lines.
I think I would bet
if I had to bet one, I would bet the rushing total going over. Love is hard to predict. I probably would go over there as well, but that's a tougher one. I think Aeneas Williams is onto something in a way that he might give you, might give Notre Dame something that Jadarian Price doesn't on Monday night.
All right, Pete, pass catchers for the Irish. Let's jump into this. It's kind of anyone's guess. We saw a great performance from Jaden Greathouse last week against Penn State, first 100-yard receiver for the Irish all season long, first one since Jordan Faison in the Sun Bowl. Mitchell Evans had a really good game last year against Ohio State. He had five catches against Penn State. And then Jordan Faison, he stepped up in the win over Georgia and wasn't utilized all that much, even though they had a nice catch and run when Steve Angeli came in. So when you look at pass catchers for this game, best bet of mine, by the way, that I gave out yesterday on the podcast was Bo Collins under 15.5. I was actually surprised that books were offering that because of his calf injury. So we'll see how effective he is if he is able to get on the field. If he doesn't get on the field, unfortunately, that would be a voided bet because he would not play. But from a pass catching standpoint, anyone you like or would stay away from the Notre Dame standpoint?
Faison, I would like going over. I think of all the guys, he's probably the most likely one to do it. I like Greathouse a lot. I thought that he would have gone over a lot more than he has this season. I don't know if he's gone over at all other than last week. So it's kind of hard to get behind that based on one performance. But if I had to choose one guy, it would be Faison. And it's like, Bo Collins is interesting. I think he absolutely will play based on sort of my intel on that one. But 15.5 is a pretty low number. That's essentially making one catch. But, you know, he's been sort of in and out the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. That's kind of the bet there is if he does play, obviously, then it would be action. And with that calf injury, is he kind of nullified? All right, Pete, before we let you run, let's flip over to the other side. And that's the fascinating one. Ohio State's pass catchers against this Notre Dame secondary. Before we kind of get into props and all of that, what have you heard coming out of South Bend? Because everyone's kind of got their guess. I read your colleague Bruce Feldman's article. He was on our show, VSiN Primetime, on Thursday night, talking to anonymous coaches. And essentially, one of the coaches said, yeah, they're really good at man-to-man, but you can't just play man-to-man against Ohio State or they're going to smoke you. So have you been able to unearth anything? I know Notre Dame probably doesn't want the game plan out, but what do you anticipate Al Golden to do from a schematic standpoint against these elite pass catchers of Ohio State?
I mean, I think we've sort of seen what he's going to do the last 2 years when Jeremiah Smith was played by Marvin Harrison. So, in those instances, there was, you know, Xavier Watts would sort of hang over the hash on whatever side Harrison was on. They'd put Morrison down below. Now that's Leonard Moore. And they would take their chances with that. And it worked. Like, Marvin Harrison did nothing against Notre Dame of real consequence in either of the games he played against the Irish. So I think that's probably what's going to happen with Jeremiah Smith. And they'll take their chances with Emeka Buka, who played well both times against Notre Dame. But overall, I don't think you would look at the Ohio State offense and think like, wow, they really picked apart Notre Dame's defense by scoring 21 and 17 points. So I think that they'll just sort of stick with what works. I think Notre Dame's linebackers are better in coverage now than they were then. I thought Cade Stover made an impact on the game last year that was significant. He's not here anymore. It's G. Scott at tight end. It's like, can Jordan Clark deal with Emeka Buka better than Thomas Harper? Probably. Can Christian Gray deal with, you know, Carnell Tate or Emeka Buka on the outside enough? Probably. I don't know. It's like I'm excited to see Jeremiah Smith in person. I do think that the fact that the media seems to have a bust of his in Canton already is a little presumptuous. He's a great player, don't get me wrong, but like, I have a very difficult time looking at him and thinking like, that guy's better than Marvin Harrison right now, because I've seen Notre Dame take away Marvin Harrison already.
So the one guy that I have not bet yet, but I think I'm looking at betting on, is Emeka Egbuka. He's had some big games in previous seasons against the Irish. Over under on his receptions is around 4.5. You got to pay a decent amount of juice on that. And then his receiving yards is kind of in that 57.5-ish range. He's played exceptionally well the last 2 years against Notre Dame. If it's going to be Christian Gray on him, do you think a guy like Emeka Egbuka could have a big night against Notre Dame?
Yes. Yeah, that would be an over bet for me if I had to make one there. He's been really good against Notre Dame. He's been really good against a lot of teams. And I think that if you're going to man up and double Jeremiah Smith, then Egbuka's been able to get open against Christian Gray or Jordan Clark or however, you know, Notre Dame tries to defend that. They're going to be defending it man-to-man with one person. So that's difficult. I'm not saying he's their best receiver, but I think he probably will be their most productive receiver on Monday night.
What's your prediction? How you feeling? My bet on this game, I played some first half under 23.5 and haven't gotten to the window yet. Not a lot of love out there for the Irish, at least having a chance to win this game outright. There are some people, including Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on this podcast, who think they can cover the game. But what's your feel on this game and how it plays out on Monday night?
I mean, Ohio State is a very earned favorite in this game. I like the fact that Notre Dame has sort of dragged Ohio State into playing their style of football twice before. At the Athletic, I want to say we had in our staff predictions, we had 20 people, and I want to say 19 of them picked Ohio State to win. And that made me think like, well, somebody's got to pick Notre Dame. So I picked Notre Dame 21-20. I can't say I feel great about it. The path to get there is incredibly narrow for the Irish. But I also sort of look at this game. It's like if you played it 20 times, I think Notre Dame would win a few of those times.
Hey, Pete, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
Real quick. Can we just can we redo that? You were just cutting in and out.
Oh, yeah.
On that answer. All right. All right. We're going to pick it up. 22-07, Ryan. 22-10. Here we go. 3-2-1. All right, Pete. Prediction time. Not a lot of people anticipating the Irish to win their first national title since 1988. I hopefully think that will happen, but I still have my pessimism, no doubt. What do you anticipate to happen, and what's your prediction on what will happen Monday night in Atlanta?
I mean, Notre Dame has dragged Ohio State into a Notre Dame style of game twice in the last 2 years. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't happen again on Monday night. Notre Dame has beaten better teams by playing incredibly complimentary football, special teams, blocks, fakes, you know, strip sacks, turning into touchdowns. That's Notre Dame's very narrow path to win. At the Athletic, I think we had about 20 people on our staff predictions and 19 of them picked Ohio State. And I felt like somebody has to pick Notre Dame. So it was me. 21-20. I just feel like if you played this game 20 times, Notre Dame will win it 3, 4, 5 times, 6 times. I don't know, but it doesn't feel like a game that should be a presumptive favorite smashing underdog type of performance. So I got Notre Dame 21-20. I'm not saying I feel good about it, but I do think Notre Dame should go into this game feeling pretty confident that it can play the game the way it wants to be played. And then we'll see if Ryan Day tenses up. If he looks across the sideline and sees the ghost of Lou Holtz and, you know, Harbaugh, and like, shouldn't we just pound the ball between the tackles on first and 10 instead of throwing it? And like, you know, if you can get Ohio State thinking a little bit, then, you know, which team is going to feel more tense or more pressure on Monday night? I think it's going to be Ohio State. We'll see. I mean, Ohio State they are a great team. They've got a lot going for them, and they're better on both lines. Better at quarterback in terms of the passing game. The receivers are great. I don't know. There's something about Notre Dame and the fact that they've been able to force teams to play their style of football that makes me think Monday will be another one of those. And then you take your shot in the fourth quarter. See what happens. You can win your first national title in 36 years.
That would be something. Pete, appreciate the insight as always. You can follow him on social media at Pete Sampson_ and get all his coverage for Notre Dame. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Andrew Gillis will give us the Ohio State side of things as we're going on the beat here on the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSIN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast. We just got the perspective from the Notre Dame side. Let's get the Ohio State side. And my good friend Andrew Gillis covers the Buckeyes for Cleveland.com. And he joins us right now. You can also check out his podcast, the Buckeye Talk Podcast. You know, Andrew, we'll get into the nuts and bolts and kind of X's and O's and all of that. But after the Michigan loss and disaster that it was, and my colleague Adam Burke is a Ohio State fan through and through, and he was ready for Ryan Day to be done. How did this team turn it around? And as crazy as it sounds, was that loss to Michigan, even though I'm sure no one in the state of Ohio would agree with this, was that loss to Michigan maybe a blessing in disguise for this program?
You know, that, I mean, look, Tim, you know, if we wanted to talk about the Michigan game, we could talk for an hour. I mean, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists should be looking at that game for years, because that game is just incredibly fascinating on so many levels. So I think, you know, to answer the blessing in disguise question, I think not really, because there is part of me that thinks this team was building and slowly kind of building up throughout the course of the season to do this, you know, where you go out and you beat Tennessee by, you know, 25 points, and you beat Oregon where it's 34-0, and, you know, you beat Texas by 14 points when really you didn't play all that well. So part of me thinks that this might have been the range of outcomes anyway. Maybe they're not blowing teams out like they have, but part of me does kind of wonder, okay, well, if you look at the way that they've managed their team, I think specifically the running backs, they've been really healthy all year. They've been saving guys for a stretch run, and then they just turned it on. So I don't know if it was a blessing in disguise, just because I think I think you look back to that Michigan game and you just see a team that was trying to out-tough a team that they didn't need to out-tough. And I think it might be a Michigan-specific problem. So from where we were to where we are, it is unbelievable, because at that time, after they lost to Michigan, man, we were sitting here going, all right, if they lose to Tennessee, I think they might fire Ryan Day, and what happens to the program, and who do you go get? And there were so many questions just kind of swirling about this team. And now they're one win away from a national championship in a game that they are favored by 8.5 points.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And they are a significant favorite. And it's funny, I did a hit, I want to say it was maybe after the Oregon loss, with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And he asked me, who is the team that can beat Oregon? And I, without hesitation, said Ohio State. And certainly that confidence maybe wavered a little bit. I don't have any exposure to Ohio State in the futures market, but pound for pound, this is the most talented team in the country, and we'll see how it plays out on Monday night. But you mentioned trying to out physical Michigan when they didn't really need to. It does feel like, outside of mistakes, which Notre Dame does a pretty good job of forcing teams to make mistakes, leading the country in turnovers with 32-4 so far this year, Andrew, but it does kind of feel like Notre Dame would love for Ohio State to kind of fall into the game plan of what they did back on, you know, November 30th as a almost 3-touchdown favorite. Do you think Ryan Day and Chip Kelly avoid that on Monday night? And because I would imagine Al Golden might try to bait, you know, this offense. Hey, if you want to run it with Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, have at it. You know, we'll let you try to run it down our throats, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that absolutely has to be the game plan, because any play that doesn't go to Jeremiah Smith or Emeka Buka should be counted as a win if you're Notre Dame's defense, right? And, you know, we're saying this even as Notre Dame has a very, very good secondary. Leonard Moore has been great. Christian Gray has been solid. Xavier Watts is one of the best safeties in the country. I think Adon Shuler is incredibly underrated. Like, they are very, very good in the secondary, and we're still talking about this going, I think you probably want Ohio State to run the ball. And, you know, I think you're right. I think it all stems back really to that 2021 Michigan game for Ryan Day. And I think ever since that point, he has tried to prove a point, and he has tried to say, we're tougher than Michigan. We're tougher than Notre Dame. If you remember that 2022 game where they played in Columbus, Ohio State capped that game off with like a 95-yard touchdown drive. And Ryan Day went in his press conference, started talking about toughness and grit and physicality. And that has always, you know, kind of, it has always kind of bothered him, it seems like. And it always kind of bothered the program that they are viewed as not this tough physical team. But I think that's exactly kind of the battle that Notre Dame wants, right? I think Brady Quinn said it earlier this week. Notre Dame does a great job of pulling teams into deep water and then, you know, figuring out the game from there and, you know, making it kind of a fist fight. And I think Notre Dame would love that. Notre Dame would love low scoring, low possessions, and the game just kind of gets played in a phone booth. And it's, all right, who's the tougher team? Who can make the less, make the fewest mistakes? Because Notre Dame, like you said, has done a really, really good job of that this season.
You know, Andrew, you look at Notre Dame from an off defensive standpoint, and they have prided themselves on playing man-to-man defense. I think the stat that Pete Sampson has thrown out there, who we just heard from, is second in the country in man-to-man defense this year, only behind Purdue, which doesn't really make it sound like a good stat when you include Purdue in anything. But this is a defense that, you know, prides itself on playing man-to-man. So I don't know what Notre Dame's going to do. I thought Bruce Feldman had a really interesting article in The Athletic talking to coaches that faced Notre Dame. And one coach basically said, you can't just go out there and play man against this offense. You'll get crushed. And you saw that with Oregon. Now, I think Notre Dame's secondary is better than Oregon's. But I do think, even though it's strength on strength, I'd give the edge certainly to Ohio State. One guy that I think is going to have a big day, and he had a big game in 21. He had a big day last year in 22, I beg your pardon, and then had a big day last year in 23, is Emeka Egbuka. His over-under is around 57.5 receiving yards, over-under 4.5 receptions. I think Jeremiah Smith, to an extent, will get his, but I think the guy that is a bit underrated for this Ohio State team is going to play a long career in the NFL as Egbuka. So what do you expect from the receivers? Do you think there is a receiver who could have a big day? I mean, Carnell Tate was phenomenal in the win over Texas when they clearly made it a point, Andrew, to take away Jeremiah Smith, and he had one catch for 3 yards. So what do you anticipate from the wide receivers on Monday night, and who could have a big night in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, that's the million-dollar question, right? Because I think you look back at that 23 game, and that would be very illuminating, I think, if Benjamin Morrison were still healthy. If Benjamin Morrison were in this game, I think the game plan, we'd already kind of have it, right? We'd saw what they did last year. They had Cam Hart on Marvin Harrison Jr., and they just doubled Marv the entire game. And then when it came to third down or obvious passing situations, they would switch Morrison over. So this time, it's a little bit more of a mystery, and I think while Texas maybe you saw the word blueprint and plan and all these other things that people tried to make about, you know, what Texas did that that Notre Dame can follow. I'm not sure if that's the case, just because, you know, Texas's defense is just schematically different than what Notre Dame wants to do. But if you look back at that 23 game, Emeka Egbuka, he had almost 100 yards, and he dropped the touchdown at the end of the first half. He had another drop or two in the second quarter. There were yards to be had there for Emeka Egbuka, and it just didn't happen. So, you know, I really like, in terms of, you know, who you think can have a big game, I am, you know, all on board with Emeka Egbuka and Carnell Tate. You know, I'm sure you can find them anytime touchdown at plus money, because Jeremiah Smith and two running backs, Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson, you know, those are two guys that are just going to eat up the market, and rightfully so. I mean, Trevion Henderson, we just saw, can take any touch he has to the house. And, you know, Quinshon Judkins is one of those running backs where if you get inside the 5 yard line, he's the guy who's getting the ball if you're going to run it. Jeremiah Smith's Jeremiah Smith. So I think when you look at maybe where there's value, I think you have to look at Ohio State's second, third, maybe even fourth receiver and G. Scott, their tight end, because what Notre Dame is going to try to do, obviously, is take away their best weapon. But I don't know if Notre Dame has a three that can match up with Carnell Tate, or, you know, can Jack Kaiser or Jalen Sneed cover G. Scott? I don't know. But to me, that is the area where I think Ohio State really might be able to shine. And that is the area where I would really be focusing on, just with yards and maybe with touchdowns as well.
Yeah, certainly Tyler Warren had his way. Now he has his way against a lot of teams. Yeah. He was the Mackey Award winner, even though, once again, Harold Fannin should have won the award. But that's a discussion for another day. But a hell of a performance from Tyler Warren last week against the Irish. Right now, it looks like FanDuel has Emeka Egbuka plus 135 to score an anytime touchdown. So a little more juice in that odds department for that one than DraftKings. I think they're at plus 110. All right, let's flip it to the other side, Andrew, because a lot of the talk, understandably so, has been, all right, Notre Dame secondary, arguably the best in the country. Ohio State's wide receivers, arguably best in the country, going to be a war. When you look at Ohio State defense versus Notre Dame offense, that's where it seems like there's a massive advantage for the Buckeyes. This defense is phenomenal. I've been championing them for a long while. You know, as soon as they hired Jim Knowles, I was like, man, this is going to be a hell of a defense, and it is. And then you think about the money invested in this defense, the retention of that roster, all of that. So how does Notre Dame find success? Is there a vulnerability on this defense that Ohio State has, Andrew?
I think it's the linebackers in coverage. And I say I think because that's kind of the level that we're at with Ohio State's defense, right? I mean, if you've watched Ohio State in the playoffs, their defensive line, I mean, they're playing like men possessed. It feels like that loss to Michigan just made something snap in Jack Sawyer's head. And Jack Sawyer has been awesome in the entire playoffs. JT Tuimoloau has been just as good. And obviously Notre Dame, I mean, they might be – well, actually, they're definitely going to be starting a left tackle who's going to be making his first start of the season at that position. You know, I think Emil Wagner's played really well for them. But they have not seen a tandem like Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau. So, you know, that's going to be really, really tough sledding, I think, for Notre Dame. The corners are obviously very good and they're very talented. I think they're different. You know, like Denzel Burke, very, very intelligent. Jordan Hancock, very athletic. Davis Nikmanosin, incredibly physical, long arms, not afraid to put his hands on you and let you know and talk a lot of trash. Caleb Downs, Lathan Ransom, probably the best safety tandem in the country. It's just, you look at this defense and you see a reasonable path to 10 guys getting drafted in April's draft. And the only one that wouldn't, at least in the starting lineup, is Caleb Downs. And that's because he's ineligible to enter the draft. So, I mean, this defense is very, very good. But I do think where Notre Dame might be able to move the ball a little bit, we saw it a little bit against Penn State, Aeneas Williams out of the backfield. Yep. You know, he had that really, really nice catch, at the beginning of the second half. If you can get a linebacker matchup with him, maybe with Mitchell Evans, you know, I like Mitchell Evans anytime touchdown for that reason. He's, I think, plus 340 to get an anytime touchdown. Like that, to me, I think is where Notre Dame can at least control the ball and move the ball methodically if you just control that middle of the field. So obviously you have to run the ball. Obviously, you probably are going to have to hit a deep shot at some point on this defense, whether that's a slant that goes the distance or you just throw it deep. But I think over the middle of the field, Notre Dame might be able to have some success against those linebackers.
Yeah, when you think back to last year's game, it was Mitchell Evans kind of coming out party, right? I think he had 7 catches for 75 yards against Ohio State. And then later in the season, he ended up tearing his ACL. And, you know, I thought he was going to have a big game against Indiana. I was a game too soon because he stepped up and had 5 catches against Penn State. So, yeah, I would agree with you. Look, a best bet that I put out there earlier in the week was under Bo Collins receiving yards on multiple fronts. He's a little bit banged up. I was a bit surprised that shops are hanging Bo Collins numbers out there, but I don't anticipate he getting involved all that much. I know he had the touchdown reception against Georgia, but you've seen Jaden Greathouse get involved. He had a big game against Penn State. You saw Jordan Faison. But I think Mitchell Evans is a guy, you know, over under 3.5 receptions, 33.5 receiving yards, as you alluded to, anytime touchdown. Take us through Caleb Downs, though, and what type of player he is. We all saw the play. It was a terrible play call, no doubt, by Sarkisian in Texas. However, to knife through the defense like he did and to get that stop for a loss of 8 to essentially change the game with the first and goal from the 1-yard line, how can Notre Dame have success running, and someone like Riley Leonard, what's going to be the plan for this Ohio State defense on Riley Leonard? Over under for Riley Leonard on rush attempts is 14.5. Sacks do count as rush attempts, worth noting there. Over under 36.5 rushing yards, Andrew. What do you expect from this defense when it comes to Notre Dame's run game? More specifically, slowing down Riley Leonard running the football.
Yeah, well, you know, first off, Caleb Downs has been kind of everything for this defense. They've almost used him as like a linebacker in these last couple of weeks. You know, what they'll do is they have Jordan Hancock, who's their very, very talented slot corner, who's probably their best corner pound for pound. You know, he just so happens to play in the slot. And I think, you know, when they move him back, they play like a three safety look, and Caleb Downs kind of comes down into the box. He's just good enough to play everywhere, right? You know, he's good enough to move around and to do all those different things for you. So, you know, he's the great equalizer. He is, you know, one of those players where positional value doesn't really matter when it comes to the NFL draft. I think we saw that with Kyle Hamilton a few years ago. I don't think that's going to matter with Caleb Downs. And that's going to be a big challenge, I think, for him. I think they'll probably have him on Evans. And that's going to put a lot on Riley Leonard, like you just said. You know, you said 14.5, I believe, was the rushing attempts.
Yep.
I would be sprinting to the window to hit that over. I think this is going to be a big, 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 big Riley Leonard game. You know, I saw his rushing yards over 36.5. I'm taking that over as well. I know sacks count as that. But I think Notre Dame is really going to rely on Riley Leonard. And I think Riley Leonard, as we have seen time and time again this season, is not afraid to put his head down and say, I need a yard, I'm going to get a yard. And that is something that I think is very admirable about Riley Leonard. And that is something that a lot of people should be very impressed with about his game. And when it comes down to it, Riley Leonard will do whatever he can to win. And I think the way that this Ohio State defense is just on the outsides, they're so talented, you know, they're so ferocious up front. Notre Dame's offensive line is going to be in for a challenge. And I think Riley Leonard, you know, they might have a few design runs for him, obviously, like they've done. I think they're going to have some obvious RPO read option type looks. But I think there's going to be a lot of situations where, you know, he drops back to pass and his first read's not there, second read's not there, and he might just go. And I think that that might be, you know, just by design, because Ohio State's defensive line is just that good. You got to get rid of the ball very quickly. So I think Riley Leonard's actually going to have a really, really big game. We know Jeremiah Love is banged up a little bit. We'll see what happens with that backfield split of Love and Price. But to me, Riley Leonard over on rushing yards. I think this is a big, big Riley Leonard game, because Ohio State, they mentioned multiple times they're going to have to spy him. Sounds like it's going to be Cody Simon's responsibility. Cody Simon's a great linebacker. He's been awesome, especially in the back half of the season. So that's going to be a really, really fun game within the game, I think, on Monday night.
All right, before we get to your projection on this game, once again, read all his work, cleveland.com. His podcast is Buckeye Talk Podcast. Has Ohio State faced a mobile quarterback like Riley Leonard? I know Dylan Gabriel had that big touchdown run in the game at Autzen in October, but you look at the schedule and they really haven't faced a super mobile quarterback like Riley Leonard. So is that the one thing that Notre Dame could do to have some success? Because honestly, when I look at it, wide receivers against the D-backs or Ohio State, I think it's a, you know, Ohio State advantage. Offensive line versus defensive line, Ohio State advantage on the D-line. I'm just wondering, if you're Mike Denbrock, the offensive coordinator for Notre Dame, Andrew, you got to get creative here. And has Ohio State shown the capabilities of facing a mobile quarterback like Riley Leonard?
Yeah, so that's the probably the question of the week, right? You know, that's the thing for Ohio State's defense. And they mentioned it multiple times. You know, they talked about their running back. Sonny Styles mentioned earlier this week, like, oh, they got a great running back. And the first person out of his mouth was Riley Leonard. The first person he said was Riley Leonard. And I think that that's very, very indicative of maybe where their heads are at and how they're looking at this Notre Dame run game, is that it starts with number 13 at quarterback. So, you know, they haven't really faced a guy like this. We joked about it, you know, on our podcast earlier this week. We were like, it's almost as if Alex Orji could throw. Maybe that was it. But if you remember in that Michigan game, Orji had a really long run and set Michigan up in field goal range. So Ohio State has struggled in the past with mobile quarterbacks. They have struggled containing quarterbacks like that. So I'm curious to see if those struggles can continue, if Notre Dame can exploit that, because while Ohio State has not exactly faced quarterbacks that are statues, they haven't faced a guy like Riley Leonard, who's a part of the running game. You know, when we talk about, you know, Dylan Gabriel, you know, or Nico Iamaleava, it's, hey, this quarterback can run if he has to, right? This quarterback can get out of trouble if he has to. And that's not the plan with Riley Leonard. The plan with Riley Leonard is we're going to run to, you know, that's our play call. We're going to run a dive. We're going to run a quarterback power. We're going to run a quarterback sweep. Those are things that Notre Dame does well. And that is just not something Ohio State has seen. So we'll see. I think it's imperative for Notre Dame that they face light boxes. I think Ohio State's probably going to run more of a 4-3 this week than they have in the last couple of weeks, especially, you know, even including that Michigan game. So I think Jordan Faison is going to have a really, really big responsibility to try to keep them honest and keep that front seven light and keep that front seven where they're not just reading run, because I think the mobile quarterback aspect of this can give Ohio State some issues.
All right, before we get out of here, Andrew Gillis, who is the beat reporter for Ohio State for Cleveland.com. The cat's been out of the bag, so I'm not calling you out here. You're a Notre Dame fan. You and I text back and forth regarding our favorite team, and you cover Ohio State, and little did you know that, you know, three straight years Notre Dame would be playing Ohio State. So what is your prediction for Monday night, Notre Dame and Ohio State? Total 46, and spread right now, Ohio State is an 8-point favorite.
So you're right. The cat is out of the bag, but, you know, it's funny. I've been trying to think, you know, is this homer? Is this not homer enough? I think Ohio State's going to win, and I think they're going to win fairly comfortably. I have Ohio State 35-13. Ooh. I think Notre Dame's defense might hang in there and might make some big-time stops, and their defense has been good enough to do that, right? You know, I don't want to count that possibility out. I don't want to leave that out of the question. However, I'm really struggling to see how Notre Dame moves the ball offensively without turnovers defensively, without some more Marcus Freeman, Marty Biagi excellence on special teams, right? I'm very curious what they're going to do, you know, on that side of things, because the offensive side of the ball for Notre Dame, I'm struggling to find ways in which they move the ball against this Ohio State defense, of which, by the way, I mean, like I said earlier, you could make a case that a handful of these guys should already have played their rookie seasons in the NFL. They all came back. Now they're one step away from a national championship. So I think that is going to be the biggest problem for Notre Dame, and I think that is going to be the issue. So we'll see what happens. You know, Notre Dame has been really, really good at those close games this year. I said on a podcast earlier, if it's close in the fourth quarter, I'm taking Notre Dame. My money would be on the Irish if it's a close game late. I just think Ohio State has too much talent, and we just saw it last week. They didn't play clean. They didn't play great. They were sloppy offensively, and they still won by 14 points because they have enough talent, and they still won by two touchdowns because they have the guys that can make plays that Texas just couldn't stop. So Ohio State 35-13. I just think this is maybe a game in the first half, but as we just wear on, I think it's going to become pretty clear that Ohio State just has that much more talent than Notre Dame, and I think Ohio State's going to win the national championship.
Well, that would fit the trend of recent national championships. As Brett McMurphy pointed out on Twitter, each of the last six title games have been decided by at least 15 points, with the average winning margin being 28 points. Andrew, appreciate the insight, man. Enjoy the game, and I hope you're wrong.
Thank you, Tim.
There he is, Andrew Gillis. We'll put a bow on the show after this quick break. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Wrapping things up here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. As always, appreciate you guys for listening to this podcast all year long. A little different perspective. I know Pete's connection was a little fuzzy there, so hopefully you got the content out of Pete. But appreciate Pete Sampson, Andrew Gillis jumping on the podcast as we gave you the beat reporter view of this national championship showdown. Plenty of content coming out for you on VSiN.com, as we'll have best bets galore. Make sure to check out the VSiN picks page as well. For me, best bets on VSiN Primetime and the podcast already. Bo Collins under 15.5 receiving yards. Make sure you look around. You still might be able to find that. And then under in the first half, 23.5 was one that I played. A couple others that I'm going to bet. Emeka Egbuka over on receptions. Look around, see if you can reduce that juice. It is pretty juicy, but over 4.5 receptions, I think, is a look for me on that one. I'll have that in pocket. Over on his receiving yards, and maybe a little bit of a ladder on Emeka Egbuka over his receiving yards. I think he's the guy that can really torture Notre Dame. And Andrew Gillis, I thought, really kind of agreed with that mindset as well. Mitchell Evans, Notre Dame tight end. I know he was one that did not get us to the window against Indiana. Over under 3.5 receptions, 31.5 receiving yards. Haven't gotten there yet, but I think Mitchell Evans could be someone that I'm looking at. And then Pete was high on the 14.5 rushing attempts. It's high, man. Riley Leonard's only gotten over that once, but it does feel like, you know, kind of like the the Bourbon Bowl in Waterboy, right? You can't hold anything back now, Brent. So you could see some over there. Haven't gotten the window yet. Certainly as the weekend goes on, I'll be adding more prop bets. But that's the beauty of this national championship. A lot of opportunities out there to bet it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I am going to be sweating profusely on Monday night, both literally and figuratively, as I'll be on the air with Matt Eumanns. And Matt's not here to hear this. There is no doubt he's going to be enjoying himself, just needling me throughout that broadcast. But 7 o'clock Eastern time, if you have turned down the volume of ESPN and throw us up, we'll have you having some fun live betting the national championship on VSiN Primetime. I'm going to do a little bit more expansive on this, but I'm going to close the show on this. I don't really have a prediction. I have first half under. I have not bet the game side. There's part of me that thinks Notre Dame is really going to struggle to score, but then there's part of me that says, you know, why the hell not? You know, this team is not supposed to be there right now, and who knows how it all play out. But I do think at the end of the day, the depth is going to hurt them, and I'm hopeful and wishful that this is not a blowout like we've seen, as Brett McMurphy pointed out, in the last 6 national championships. Now, some of that is a little bit skewed based off of... Now, all 6 have been north of 15 points, so they all have been double-digit victories, which would be, of course, a cover for Ohio State. But a lot of it's skewed by TCU losing by 58 points. But look, I think many of you know this. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I don't hide it. I think that's the beauty of sports, is that we all are fans of some team at some point. Obviously, fandom diminishes at time when it comes to what you ultimately cheer for. But this is a program that I grew up loving. And, you know, my father went to Notre Dame. My sister went to Notre Dame. My sister enrolled in Notre Dame when I was in, I think, 3rd grade. So it's basically been ingrained in me since the day I was born. And for this program, they have yet to win a national championship since 1988, January of 1989 against West Virginia. And I've been fortunate enough to attend well over 30 games, states all across the country, saw them playing at the Coliseum this year, just went to the Orange Bowl. It would be incredible if they were able to pull this thing off. We will see if it can happen, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Tune in on Saturday, folks. I think around noon Eastern time, if you're listening to this and hasn't unfolded yet. I'm just going to kind of lay it out. Why I've been a Notre Dame fan my whole life. It's not just that I'm a ginger Irish Catholic. There are ties, and why ultimately I took my fandom to the next level and has led to, at times, some pessimism. If you've seen my social media accounts, but I've been calm, I think, during the Georgia and the Penn State game, and we'll see if that calmness continues for Ohio State. But a couple of best bets in there. Stay tuned to VSiN.com/picks. I'll throw in some more prop plays. Emeka Egbuka, the overs there are ones that I do like. I mentioned Bo Collins under for his receptions and receiving yards, and then a couple others as well that I'm eyeing up. Riley Leonard, rushing attempts could potentially make the portfolio. Mitchell Evans, the tight end for Notre Dame, could make it as well. So if I do play some bets, more bets, I should say, I'll add them to the picks page there, vsin.com/picks. So I'll make sure to add them as well. Big, big shout out to all of you. If you're still listening, thank you very much. But man, we've had a blast. And the feedback this whole year has been remarkable from you guys. And thanks to Adam Burke. Thanks to Wes Reynolds. Thanks to Matt Eumanns for joining the podcast each and every week. Thanks to Ryan Hunter. Thanks to Wyatt Tomchek. Thanks to all of the folks behind the scenes at VSiN. As this podcast, the numbers were great, man, and we're not going anywhere. So let's keep it rolling. We'll think of some things to do in the off season, but the off season ones in the summer were certainly a blast to do, get us ready for the college football season. We got into our groove as the season went on. So it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in all throughout the season. And hopefully we get some winners to cross the finish line here. Wes Reynolds and Matt both liked Notre Dame plus the points. And we will check out VSiN.com/picks for all of those plays. I'm Tim Murray. Thanks again for tuning in. I think we'll have a recap show. One of us, me or Adam, is going to be very happy on Tuesday. So we'll have a recap show and we will recap the game. We'll grade out some of the props and all of that. But thanks to all of you. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.